episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Good evening, everybody. This is Vera Lucius, and you're in the fitting room tonight on the 30th of April 2025. There's a couple of things I actually want to talk about in regards to social media. Now, I've noticed there's a lot of things that influence us, especially doing fittings. As you all know, I'm a fitter and a stylist, and I work in the fashion industry, currently doing fittings for swimwear. So one thing that's popped into my mind is in regards to what social media is doing. The Social Dilemma 2020 Netflix documentary sort of answered some of the questions that I had in regards to what social media was doing and where it was going. So with the Social Dilemma, it's about the dangerous human impact of social networking. Now, social networking, big part of our lives, big part of a lot of the things that we do. So I thought I'd have a look at this documentary and see what it has to say in regards to what is happening with social media. So we've got Tristan Harris, who is the Google. He was the former design ethicist of Google, and now he's runs the Center for Humane Technology. He's a co-founder of this new business. Now, he is the main character in this documentary, and he sort of goes in to talk about the dark side of social media. So the storyline from the Sundance Film Festival in regards to this is, as it states here from IMBD, set in the dark underbelly of Silicon Valley, The Social Dilemma fuses investigate documentary with enlightening narrative drama. Expert testimony from tech whistleblowers exposes our disturbing predicament. The services big tech provides, search engines, networks, instant information, etc., are merely the candy that lures us to bite. Once we are hooked and coming back for more, the real commodity, they sell their power, their prowess to influence and manipulate us. Wow, very interesting in regards to what the storyline is in this. So let's have a look. So we've got Facebook, Instagram, Google, Twitter, Pinterest, TikTok, Snapchat, etc., etc., etc. All these social media applications we tend to use in our lives. We're on it every day. We're on it every hour of the day. You know, we are looking for information. We are taking pictures of ourselves. Anything is there. Anything we want to put up on the internet, we have all these applications that allow us to do it. So what's the problem? What are the ethical concerns in regards to this? Is persons being addicted to tech? And according to what these experts or these whistleblowers are saying, that nobody intended the consequences of the mental health and social media usage and how much it would impact our lives, and in a negative way, not so much in a positive way. So I think the original intention was that it was going to be quite positive, where people can connect, people can communicate, we will have little communities, and we can share things, which is always a good thing. But there is an underlying problem with it, and which is causing quite a few issues as well. So the new agenda for tech is a race to be humane. So when you look around you, is the world crazy, or have we fallen under a spell? Maybe, maybe not. We do rely on information technology. We do rely on our phones. We do rely on our laptops. All these things that are attached to us all the time. So ethical design for social media, how much time and your life will you give to tech? And how much are we doing it? Like, I'm on it now. We're probably on it every day. I have an Instagram account. We're always checking that. We're always taking photos. I'm always taking photos, posting. So how much of my life is going into social media and how much of my life is going out there in the world today? So what we're going to look at is one big problem is regarding mental health and also how we view ourselves and what these kind of things are doing for us. Now, having conversations with customers in our fitting room, they tend to look at themselves in a raw state. So when I say that, there's always flaws. Okay, so even if you are fitting someone, they're always looking at the negative side of their body and the impact that it's having on them mentally, emotionally, because they're seeing these themselves in this physical, you know, their physical state. It's not always easy to see. But for me, when it comes down to listening every day to an issue that somebody has and what they're not happy with, it kind of questions whether or not or what is the driving factor that is causing these sort of concerns. So what is it really? I mean, paid advertisers are paying for your attention on a free product. What do we get for free during on social media? One example, Instagram's free. Facebook is free. Twitter is free. There's quite a lot of free apps out there. And but advertisers are behind all this as well, and they're making money. So they're making money every time we engage with one of their products. So is this what is happening? So advertising for them. So we're keeping people engaged and they're fighting for your attention. The more of your attention that they get, the more money they make. So if you are not paying for the product, then you are the product. Have we become products? Have we become the product of marketing human interests through advertising? So Facebook, for example, harvests your actions. So they exploit the vulnerability of human psychology. And that's also the same with Instagram. It kind of does the same thing as well, where we engage all the time. Another thing I wanted to look at was surveillance marketing. So marketing human interest through advertising. So they're tracking what you click on, how long you spend on these images, topics, data that's being fed into the tech giants. And what do they do with your data? Do we know or do we care? Build predictions. So this builds predictions and they're all powered by algorithms. So the algorithms follow what we do. So whatever we are moving, whenever we are moving, through our social media or through anything online, we are being tracked and we actually have an algorithm. And this is where the advertisers can follow us and actually know exactly when to place their advertisements and what captures our attention. So the three things that they look at is engagement, how much growth they can get, and advertising, which is profits, which equals the dollars that they make. So what happens when a world created by online changes the culture and communication? Have we now moved away from using the tools from online to now an addiction? So how so? Social media is a drug that optimizes connection with people. Quite scary, isn't it? Calling it a drug. Anything that we're addicted to, is it a drug? I do understand that there are things that we might not consider an addictive thing. An addictive nature that we have can be to anything really. So one of the quotes that I like, Edward Tufte, he said, there are only two industries that call their customers users, which is people who take illegal drugs and software. So we are called users. How bad is that? We're not seen as people or a face for somebody. We are just seen as users. So, and what about programming and manipulation? So the social dilemma actually looks into a lot of these. I do recommend if you're interested in some documentaries in regarding to these sort of things, whether it's tech, whether it's about your social life, anything like that. This is one documentary that I would probably recommend that you could watch. People can form their own opinions. It doesn't really matter. And it's something that we could even talk about. So how do we make tech more persuasive? They use growth hacking tactics, and they experiment them all on us users. Put that in quotation marks. It's also designed by tapping into our unconscious habits. So there are habits that we have that we don't really think of, right? So things that we do automatically, if we get nervous, if we get excited, there are key things in our life that we do, and we just seem to do it automatically as well. And a lot of the times we're not even thinking about it. Like we repeat things that we see, we hear. And a big factor with fashion when it comes to social media and the way we look is huge. And it makes such an impact on a lot of us and a lot of our lives. And it concerns me that in the news, but not of late, but over time, there has been news of cyberbullying, suicides because of this kind of behavior. And so are we really so engaged in social media that it is driving us to this extreme? The scary thing is, yes, it is. There is some statistics that the Social Dilemma quotes on their documentary, and it is from the United States. And it's a study they did on 100,000 teenage girls, and it was increase in depression and anxiety. So the US hospital admissions for non-fatal self-harm, so these are figures after 2011, they went up by 62% in the 15 to 19 age bracket and up by 189% in the 10 to 14 year age bracket. That's a phenomenal amount of number, and it's really, really scary to think that do we know someone, do we have a child that, you know, fell into this category? It's really, really scary to think that there's children, whether it's for me, it might not be my, I don't have any children, but it could be my niece or my nieces. Could they be affected by something like this, and could it be causing them the depression, anxiety? Could it be causing them to harm themselves because of social media? The suicide rates for the 15 to 19-year-olds were up by 70%, and the 10 to 14 was up by 15%. So this was just figures done on teenage girls in the US. With the dates there. And the graph pattern that they show was the trend toward social media and what it does. In the actual movie, or documentary movie, I should say, they actually follow a family and they go through and who are addicted to social media. It shows a teenage son, it shows a preteen daughter, it shows an older daughter, a mother and a father. And like their battles with social media, like you cannot get the children off the phone, you cannot get them off the computer. And why is it so engaging? What makes it so engaging? Are they tapping into that human psychology that the magicians tapped into, where we, one minute it's there and next minute it's not? Is it magic? Is it not? What are they doing that's making this happen? And what happens when their world is now an online creation? What happens to this generation of fragile, anxious and depressed people? So, you know, acting out, they act out in ways of mentally, emotionally and physically because of social media. We can see them copy. So one big one I've noticed over time, especially quite recent, was probably Taylor Swift and Billie Eilish, and them being in social media and the reactions of not only just the young girls, teenage girls, but the mothers as well. This behavior was just phenomenal. The way they copy these stars, whether it's dress, whether it's action, how they pose themselves in social media, they want to do exactly the same. And what is it doing to us? You know?
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Truthmeets.com, and you're in the fitting room with Verilicious. It is the 30th of April, 2025. I'm just talking about The Social Dilemma. It is a Netflix documentary which came out in 2020. But it seems like this social dilemma of social media is really taking an impact, and I've really started to notice it probably of late, only because I've been working quite a fair bit and seeing a lot of people through the change rooms, through the fitting rooms, and having conversations with them about their life. People have been on holidays lately. We've had really good weather here. And what I do fit women out basically is in swimwear. So we women do have a lot of body issues. We have a lot of emotional and mental attachments to certain things, and what we see as beautiful or what we see as fit varies from person to person. I could fit someone in something that would give them the support they need. They look fantastic in it. That's the color that they want. Everything like that can be perfect. And the only thing that gives it its downfall is the person who doesn't like how they look in it. So that's one thing that I battle with when you're talking to people in the fitting room and when you're styling them. It's something that can be a bit of a downer for a lot of people, but we try to make this exciting for them. Swimwear is very much close to underwear. You're going to be pretty much in the nudist form that you're going to be in. And, you know, for a lot of women, it's pretty hard to face the reality of how we look, especially when we age. And then you've got the teenage girls with the developing bodies. That's another one that you have to deal with as well. And the other thing I was thinking about and looking at was also, does social media now play a massive role in how we look at ourselves and how the transformation of our bodies as we age, as we go through life, when we see other people in the media, do we feel like we need to be like them? We compare ourselves to them. You know, everything. We think that their life is roses, but do we know that maybe it's not? These things like filters that get put on. Snapchat has all these different filters you can put on to look pretty. You can change basically anything on how you look online now. And, you know, the person that you see, is it the person you really are? Most probably not. And it's probably just a person of our imagination that we want people to see and people to view. You know, the person who's putting out those photos on Facebook, who it's all happy, there's always parties and they're always looking good and they're always at events. But deep down, what is going on? They could be depressed. They could be needing anything. We don't really know. What does it matter? It's what they portray to us that triggers emotions. And one interesting thing that I see with young girls today is they want to grow up. And, you know, they want to grow up so fast, and it makes it really difficult, especially if a mother wants that child in a bikini and they're not ready for a bikini. It does make it very difficult. And then we look at exploitation. There's so many predators out there who are just really disgusting and who will pounce on the vulnerable. And I've seen this before working in swimwear, where you have really, really creepy people. It could be guys. It could be girls. It could be anyone. Just is really bad. We really have to think about how we want to protect our kids and how we want to protect ourselves against these kind of dangers. The thing is, it's not all bad. Social media is not all bad. We can take it good in a good way, or we can take it in a bad way. There is always a positive and negative aspect to all this kind of stuff. The only thing I was talking about and why I wanted to address the social dilemma is because it brings these sort of things up, and they're things that people normally wouldn't look at, or they just think, oh no, what does it matter? It doesn't actually really matter, because what I do with my life is nobody else's business. But when you put that out in social media, it becomes everybody's business. It goes out in the World Wide Web. It's there. Your data is there. It's out there. It can be sold. It's harvested. It can be manipulated. It can be done so many ways, and we don't know what goes on behind the scenes, and that's, I think, is the scary part with it. So what are we looking at in this generation of people today, and how technology is making things more appealing, like the photo technology is making it more appealing for us to take photos, filter those photos and put them out there. But is it taking away our self-worth and the identity? And, you know, they conflate. So they bring together the value with likes, thumbs up, hearts, etc. Do they give us those positive feelings and of being wanted and, you know, and being validated? Sure. Sure does. You know, making sure of positive intermittent reinforcement is really good for one's self-worth. So there are the kind of things that we've got to watch out for as well. You know what? I don't mind a heart every now and then. I don't mind a thumbs up every now and then. I don't mind 100% every now and then, because if I'm saying something and I really want to be validated in that saying, or somebody agrees with me, it's a feel-good thing, and it means that we can, you know, maybe have a conversation about it, or maybe we can start sharing some positive things. So we've just got to really think about how we're doing it, whether or not it's going to impact someone negatively or positively. They're the kind of things that we really have to think about as well. And not only just think about yourself, but think about others out there. I mean, does any parent want tech manipulators to harm their children? Obviously, no. It's, you know, quite simple. No one would want any of their children to be harmed. So, but these days we see with all the kids, and I think I was talking about it on one of the chat shows, is that you have children now, probably from baby, as soon as they can pick up a mobile phone or a tablet, it's in their hands. And what is it called? It's a digital pacifier. And I think a lot of us have a digital pacifier because that's what is in our hands all the time. It's what we like to scroll through. If we want to see something funny, if we want something feel good, it's in our hand. We can just jump on social media and have a look. We can find something that's going to make us laugh. We're going to find something to make us cry. We're going to find something we're going to connect with. It's all there in our hands. So what is it doing, though? Is it training and conditioning a generation? Could be. Are we the generation? What kind of generation are we looking forward to? Especially all the younger ones today. Forget it. You know, me, I always think, hey, my parents, they didn't know how to use technology. You know, they got on a mobile phone. Then it was me. I got on a mobile phone, and now the younger generation are getting on mobile phones, but they know more than me, you know, and there's always a generation that's going to know more than you, and they're going to know how to do things a little bit better. The positive side to a lot of all that too is I was talking to a father who has a child, and he was saying the good thing about some of the YouTube videos that you can watch, it can actually teach children maybe how to play an instrument, how to paint, how to draw, and just little things like that. So he was looking at the positive impacts. But then, you know, the other thing is you make sure you have to regulate, whether it's you using it or whether it's your family members using it. These are the things that you need to regulate, especially with the teenagers and the younger children today. So for me, it's really scary having a look at those figures in regards to the increase of depression and anxiety and what's causing self-harm. And I know it's not only the teenagers and it's not only the preteens that it's happening to, but it's also happening to adults. And, you know, these are the things we've got to look out for, especially with family members or even friends of ours. So what can we do? You know, can this Centre for Humane Technology make a difference, or do we not want to listen or even explore the ideas of switching off? So there's things we can look at. I love social media. That's what I do. I'm here now talking to you guys via on a podcast. So, you know, we can have some really good impacts by doing things that are positive, by upbuilding people and making things exciting. So it doesn't always have to be the dark side of it. And this is what the social dilemma actually just explores. It only explores the dark side of what's happening in social media. And they're the things that we don't normally want to look at. They're the things that we don't normally want to talk about. But when it impacts someone we know, when it impacts us directly, then there's some things that we want to talk about. So for me, being in the fitting room, a real fitting room, and seeing the impact of what social media can do for not only just women, young women, teens, it really sort of saddens you, you know, because they're always comparing themselves with someone who might not even be real. We know with AI technology these days, you can create humans. You can create anything you want on there. You can create a perfect person on there. And if these are what people are seeing and they want to be like that person, they can't. This person was digitally created. It's a different world. So we've got to face the facts that we've got to look at what reality is and what fake is. So we do have to differentiate in all this. We don't live in the matrix. We live in a real world. Some people might say that we do, but that's another story. So guys, I just wanted to bring that up just in regards to the social dilemma, which I've been facing, especially in the fitting room. So this is why it is in the fitting room, something that I wanted to have a talk about. So next time you go out and have a look, you know, are you aware of the people around you and what they're doing? Are they just all doom scrolling? Are they doing things? Are they wearing things? Are their actions who they really are, or are they being influenced by social media? So I want to end it on like the Truman Show, where it was quoted, do we accept the reality we're presented with? And is it something that we really want to face? So is our reality the reality that we have right in front of us and what we want to do in real life, or is our reality in our hands looking at social media, looking at the internet, scrolling through all that sort of stuff? Find the positive aspects of it all, and you can let me know next time round. So I just wanted to say that the fitting room, we haven't had, I haven't had a few guests on, but I have been busy, and the lineup of people I have to get on to Discord as well. But you know what? There are other things that we can do as well. So anyway, guys, just wanted to let you know, if you want something to watch, if you want something to chat about, please jump on the truthmeets.com forum. If you go on our website, there is a forum button. You can register to be a user. It is free. You will get a username and password, and we can chat about any of these shows on there. So you don't have to be on Discord to join. You can just jump straight on our website, which is truthmeets.com, and go through the forum page and join up, and you can chat to myself there. You can chat to Esoteric. You can chat to Beachy. You can chat to Rolo. And you can even chat to our producer, Velocet, and his lovely wife, Sarah. So this is Verilicious signing off in the fitting room tonight. And remember, guys, social media can be your friend, but it can also be your foe. Good night.
Are you even real? Or did I make you up? How could someone like you wanna give me love? Don't think I deserve it, but I can't get enough. You're so beautiful, spiritual, more like a miracle. Part of me scared that you might be invisible. Too good to be true. Are you in my bedroom? Questions that I ask ever since I met you. Tell me, are you something from a dream or something that I made? Questions that I ask every time I wake up.
You never do too much. You steal enough from me. I can feel the rush, even when you slow dance for me. Looking at you laying right there. Are you from this world? I swear you're beautiful, spiritual. I just want you to know. Is it I pretend or something? I'm in real, I don't know what to think. And if it's all a dream, I don't wanna wake up.
Are you in my bedroom? In my bedroom. Questions that I ask ever since I met you. Tell me, are you something from a dream or something that I made up? Questions that I ask every time I wake up.
Are you?